And welcome back to Hey Eintracht Frankfurt, the Bundesliga podcast covering everything there is to know in the English language about Eintracht Frankfurt, the best club in the Bundesliga, the best club in Germany, the best club in Europe, the best club in the world for that matter, but we're a little bit biased. I'm your host, Brian Sanders. You can follow me at ACSGE on Twitter. You can also follow the show that on Twitter. That is at HEFpod. Email for the show is at our Yahoo email address of heyeintrachtfrankfurt@yahoo.com. Joining me to discuss the Super Cup and just a little bit more Hooters ramblings, primarily, it's Nathan in St. Louis. Hello, buddy.
Hey, how's everyone drinking out there right now?
No kidding. Not going to lie, everything seemed to be okay. We're going to learn from this match against Bayern. We'll get into that in a second. And then Hooter happens to just drop a huge, huge bomb when he says, yeah, these three guys can just get lost.
No kidding.
But let's, before we get into that, let's get right to the most important kind of subject, Eintracht's test match, or the DFL Super Cup match with Bayern Munich. So,
quite a test match.
Niko Kovac comes back. Yeah, another test match for Eintracht. So, Niko Kovac comes back. Lovely to see him. Seemed like he had a rather nice welcome.
Yeah.
The ultras weren't there, so, but hey, you know, full house. We'll definitely take the extra gate receipts. But let's be honest, that was a bit of a shambles.
That was pretty painful.
Just saying.
I can only imagine what Roman would say right now. Poor guy had to watch that in Frankfurt. We looked bad. Where to start there, Brian?
Let's start with some of the players who just kind of didn't perform. Wait a second. That could be like all of them. Okay. I have to narrow this down. All right. I'll try and be clear and concise. Donny Bloom showed up on the pitch and he does what he does. Look, we've never been fans of this guy. He's been useful at best, you know, primarily a winger. I don't think he's... Look, I look at him and I'm like, hey, you know, for the right Bundesliga team, you know, your Mainz, your Augsburgs, your Darmstadts, you could be a stud. You're really less than bit part player when you're playing for a club more along the lines of Eintracht.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could go up and down this team, but, you know, us rolling out with a 3-4-3... I just have to scratch my head as opposed to Jürgen Love, where he just scratches his butt and sniffs it later.
And shakes somebody's hand
what the
afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. And you just got to kind of wonder what exactly is going through this guy's mind. I'll say this. Toro, barely saw him, but I did see at least that there's some positivity. And yet he was the only outfield player that is a new signing that was on the pitch.
Yeah, Abraham looked sluggish to frustrated with his role.
He wanted to just punch Lewandowski in the face.
Yep.
He only clipped him just a little bit.
Now, to be fair, and I could be wrong here, I had a few drinks during the match, but I thought that Lewandowski earlier had headbutted Abraham.
There's some history with these guys, and it very much continued throughout the entirety of the match. And you just kind of have to scratch your head and wonder, children, are we going to grow up? No? Okay, then. Fisticuffs, then.
Yeah, at the end of the day, if you're playing a team like Bayern, they're going to get away with things that you know, a team like Eintracht Frankfurt is going to get called for. So you just have to take your lumps and play better. But we did not. Abraham Hasebe did not have a good game at all. Ronau is not a favorable showing Bruno in his first match. Is
more like rusty Ronaldo.
Fabian.
I would prefer Weidwald. You know, someone who, you know, is not gonna embarrass himself like that. Because not gonna lie, he did not decorate himself in glory. Maybe no. It's gonna take him some time to adjust. But ugh.
No, and I mean, you have to think like this. This guy's young. He's this league is new. It's bigger. It's the crowds are huge, and that's a lot of weight on your shoulders. This kind of loss. So, hopefully, he learns from it. Takes some positivity, but. Man, he did not show up like much of the rest of the team.
Well, you know, I'll look at it from the standpoint that I guess we could have done worse. We could have done what we did in the Rook Runda of last season where, you know, we performed just as well against the actual reserves. But, you know.
Yeah.
What you gonna do?
Well, I mean, if you want to play silver lining, it was a preseason game.
Jovic and Rebic look good. Well, I'll put that as a silver lining that both those guys looked like
too late.
You know, these, yeah, too little, too late. But the fact of the matter is, for me, Allaire, I got a bad feeling that he is going to be very quickly written out. Adi Hütter's tactics, and that a team like Ulm, who we faced in the Pokal in just a handful of days' time as the season sort of starts getting underway. I always kind of feel weird when it comes to these initial first rounders of the Pokal, unless you're facing one of the Dritte Liga, the third division teams. It can be tricky, but you know, for me, still seems like a test match. And hey, you know, if you lose, well, okay. Another couple matches less that you have to worry about.
Yeah,
less fixture congestion, considering we already have their Europa League.
Yeah, consider it, I mean, a little bit of a blessing that we get a competitive match that's still a preseason game after this loss to Bayern. There are some spots of positivity to take out of this, but the glaring, like Gacinovic, I think played okay. He should have had a penalty when Hummels took him down, but
that should have been a red.
Yeah, it should have been a red card.
I think the tweet that I actually put out should have been a red. I'll shrug shoulders, drink more.
This is my ignorance of VAR and things, but I don't understand why that didn't go to VAR if it was so evident to one of the top referees in Germany that was a red card. Why did that not go to Cologne? I don't understand it. They just moved on, and I thought it was a clear red card, but. The biggest glaring thing in my mind that stands out of this game is that Adi Hütter's system, if we do take a lump or two and go down 1-0 relatively early in the game, that system's shit. It won't produce results. You're dealing with a team that'll start shifting tactics against you. And you can't play that counterattack game the same way. So that's my biggest concern. And I know that is always a concern with that type of play. But I just don't think we're built to respond to that. So that's my biggest worry going into before today happened.
Indeed. Well, look, I'm going to give Adi Hütter, at least when it comes to implementing his playing style, the benefit of the doubt a degree. And I do think that the first two Bundesliga matches, this Super Cup, as obviously came about, and the Pokal match that's coming up right before the September break, you know, I honestly look at everything, all those matches, and yes, that is two matches within the league, but I actually look at that and think to myself, you know what? We are not going to really start to really know what kind of team this is until we start playing, you know, in the Europa League where, you know, we're going to have little recuperation time, but he will have had plenty of, you know, plenty of training time with all the players so that the ideas are at least there. And then it's all a matter of implementation and squad rotation. So then we can find out really quickly who's catching on to better than others. And, you know, by the time that October does roll around, I think Eintracht will be still, you know, on the outside looking in at mid-table, but that's going to be basically our lot in life. Kind of being like, oh, a little tricky, little kind of rough going. And it's really not until the latter part of the season that we're really going to pull jettison ourselves away from what's probably going to be about a 4 or 5 team relegation scrap. Not something that I think long-term we need to worry about for this season, but... Wow, I'm already getting into my preseason predictions and everything.
Yeah, I mean,
wow, look at how that went.
I'm not going to go that far, that far, but because I just feel like everything's still so volatile that who the heck knows, you know?
Oh. Indeed, indeed. But hey, at the end of the day, it's just a Super Cup. No big loss there. That trophy is not that pretty looking to look at.
We got a lot of TV money.
We won the one that matters, so that's all that. That's all that counts at the end of the day.
Yep. Let's move on and come what may, you know.
Indeed, indeed. Speaking of moving on, we're going to move on to section 2. But before we get on to our segment 2 of the program, we're going into what are we drinking?
Ooh.
Nathan, you're up.
What am I not drinking? I'm drinking the beer that I made with my buddy. We call our homebrewing brewery Bardal Brewery, and it's a Helles. I just finished the keg.
Oh, no mas.
No more.
No mas Helles. Just means need to make some more beer.
On to next weekend, yes.
Indeed. Well, for me, I am finishing off the last of the Stiegel Radler Grapefruit Edition that we had in the fridge. So it's the last of that. I'll have to probably make a run to the store shortly to replenish the stocks.
Competitor to the Frankfurt-based Schoeffer Grapefruit Radler.
Indeed, indeed. Alrighty. That being said, that concludes what are we drinking. We're going to be back in just a jiffy with segment 2. Stay with.
Deutsche Pokalsieger! Deutsche Pokalsieger! Deutsche Pokalsieger! SK!
And welcome back to segment 2 of Hey Eintracht Frankfurt, the Bundesliga podcast covering everything there is to know in the English language about Eintracht Frankfurt. So, Super Cup, well, that's out of the way. We did have something a little bit more formalized for segment 2, part 2. And then someone dropped a bomb earlier today. Adi Hütte, Eintracht's new manager, bothered to say that a couple of the players on the roster, and as everyone can hear, my lovely additional commentator, my own pup, is expressing her own disdain for Adi Hütte's, irreverence towards some players of Eintracht Frankfurt. So, players who are now, it is now two separate training camps. There are the haves and there are the have-nots.
Yeah.
Fellet is a part of it. Jeff, how? I don't know.
Yeah.
Fabian, he's a part of it too. You would think he would have consulted the marketing team before making a kind of run like that. So, yeah, that happened. We've known about him for quite a while. There's Nelson Mandela, Bochum. He's been on the cards for moving on for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And then you also had Daichi Kamada. Shame that the guy's never really had a real sniff. And Marian Kavar, who, look, we only picked him up 6 months ago.
Yeah, no
and
kidding.
Already they're saying, yeah, I don't want him. Get rid. He wants to thin down the squad when, let's be honest, playing in the Europa League. I don't know anything about our kind of youth players who we have signed to professional contracts, mostly to keep our German coefficient up. But, I mean, Hutter better have a good, damn good idea of who is in and who is out. Because this is the thing. All the players that I mentioned, none of them are on the other side of 30. And we have a few guys like that. Hasebe, Rose, and Abraham, just to name three, who are on the other side of 30. And, you know, no mention of those guys at all. You know, two of those guys were starting in our defense and another was on the bench. And yet we're moving on these other guys who are fresh legs. Stendera is the other player that I overlooked there. But yeah, the haves and the have-nots. And
yeah, what are you?
Woof.
Well, Kavars, I could be speaking out of turn, but it just seems like Hütter is setting up a precedent at Eintracht Frankfurt that I'm not entirely keen on, and you know, kicking unproven talent to the curb, so to speak. Before they even get a chance to test their metal, seems like a bad move to me. So that's one perspective. I don't know if that will detract other people from coming to Frankfurt and trying their trade here, but that's just a thought that I had. Otherwise, I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, our back line is aging fast. And to cut bait on Follett seems a little premature. He showed a lot of promise last year, and
agreed.
He was a little heavy on the cards. But
who wasn't last year?
We got a team that's built for that. I mean, that just happens in Frankfurt. You know it's coming.
Exactly.
But yeah, like you said, so we have two separate training groups. Like, what does that mean? You know, like, maybe the bigger clubs do this. I don't know. I don't have any insight in that, but you create like this internal push and pull, this, you know, toxic versus blessed group structure that if they're truly cast aside, maybe it's a meaningless distinction, but wow. I mean, we are, Hütter a week ago said that we are thin as it is and we need, you know, what did he say? Four, to, like six additional players
seven.
To be at depth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it does not make any sense because, you know, we've brought in one French defender and everyone, you know, at least myself included, thought, okay, Follett is going to be, you know, point man in terms of making sure that the guy adjusts because, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes, okay, Adi Hütter does speak French, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, that's your coach. That's the manager who speaks French. And, you know, the rest of your teammates, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to really kind of bond with them. Okay, so Alea is French, but fact is, he's an attacker, and Ivan Ndika is a defender. And who else other than Follett would have been the perfect person to kind of, you know, kind of ease him into the squad? Look, I get that Stendera, Kamada, Hagada are on the outside looking in. But, you know, he had talked up his opinion of Fabian so much.
That's a good point,
too. And
it's
almost like, oh, you know, hey, bad, you know, bad showing here. This was your chance to prove that you're good. Trying to do that against Bayern in the situation that was present. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. And, you know, now we have to think about shipping them off. You know, here's hoping that somebody in China is interested. Beşiktaş of Turkey has been rumored to be interested. But, well, I don't think he's going to be coming back to the issuers anytime soon unless he comes to Major League Soccer. And that transfer window for them is ending
coming
right
up.
Quick.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's two ways to look at this, you know, like if those players are truly not going to play because Hütter prefers other players, then mm-hmm. their value will go down. So making a outright statement at this time that these players are for sale so that we can at least recoup some of their value right now and instead of less later is a smart move. But like you said, with the window closing in different countries at various times very soon, that just seemingly isn't. I mean, we're not going to get much from that. It's an interesting situation. I don't know of clubs our size who are this outspoken about their talent at this point in a season, especially when all perceptions are that our depth is lacking.
Depth lacking indeed. And you know, at the end of the day, look, if we're gonna chuck away Marco Fabian, can we at least go to PSV Eindhoven and offer them $15 million and give Marco Fabian, just so long as we get Chucky Lozano, you know, hey, replace one Mexican with another, and hey, Wenger, just exactly the kind of guy that supposedly we need, and whoa, what a media personality that would be to be an addition. But I think that's kind of wishful thinking there. Shame that they're still in the Champions League, as they were able to progress into the final playoff round for making the Champions League group phase. So, whoops, dang it. Well, like I said, wishful thinking.
Yeah, I mean, all of this glass half full, mine is half empty right now, this beer, but maybe why I'm talking so fast, but glass half full, maybe this is all an indication that there are signings ahead that are, you know, three quarters done.
I was joking with going the Dutch route, as there have been links for Eintracht. Let's see, a defensive midfielder from Romania. Mm-hmm. Is that Steaua Bucharest or whatever the heck that they call themselves now, that they had like apparently some license naming issue. I ain't going down that rabbit hole. and a player from Feyenoord, Rotterdam, who those guys don't want to sell, but hey, you know, as we record this, they don't even know if they're going to be still in the Europa League.
That's a good point.
Maybe there are moves that they have in mind, but you got to remember that our club just a couple seasons ago had like no money to do anything. And last year we spent a tidy sum and have got quite a lot of money that has come in from all sorts of, sponsors, winning the Pokal, playing in Europe, yeah, that TV. Is coming up,
yeah.
TV as well.
Yeah.
Got to think that there's money to make the moves happen, but all right, we're beating this horse pretty right now. As we're ending segment two, a little sad note that Timothy Chandler, and recording right now, not exactly sure if he's going to be out for the season with his
indications seem like he's going to need surgery, right?
Yeah, looks everything points to him needing surgery, and not going to lie, when it rains, it does pour, and boy, let's hope that he doesn't need a knee operation. His examination is coming up tomorrow as we record this on Wednesday, so by the time that this episode will drop, we'll have official news on that. Of course that would happen. But I will
news doesn't
in
stop
brief. Doesn't stop indeed. But an interesting that Cavar is on the outside looking in. Eintracht has signed a 16-year-old Slovenian forward from the team that actually won the Slovenian top flight. I'm not even going to try and pronounce that club's name. That's a mouthful, even with or without teeth. Martin Pekar.
I'll make a stab at it. Olimpia Ljubljana.
But yeah, he's going to be playing with the looks like a little bit of transfer fee was sent over that way. He'll be joining our U17 squad, not joining the first team, but rumors of a 5-year contract. So trying to push this on us, trying to cover up all the other shenanigans.
This is what I'm thinking of, and maybe I'm just wearing the hat of Roman. I hope he's doing okay. But like, what is this dude, you know, that just signed with Eintracht Frankfurt and sees that someone like Kavar has been here for 6 months and gets kicked to the curb? What does this guy think, you know, signing a 5-year contract? So I hope he's, you know, a phenomenal youth signing that will have a lot of growth potential with the bigger club. But clouds are overhead.
Indeed, indeed. All right, with that being said, we're actually going to switch into part 3 of the podcast, where we're actually going to speak, or I had an opportunity to speak with the guys from the Bundesliga Diaries podcast who were on site for the Super Cup. So stay with.
All right. And here we are, bringing in our little guest, or I should say multiple guests for this week. A little guest bit that we have. They were at the DFL Super Cup for what it was. It's the guys from the Bundesliga Diaries podcast. I'm going to introduce them one by one. We have John Radcliffe.
Hiya. Hi, guys. How are you, Brian?
Just fine. All right. We have Jorge.
Good morning, Brian. Here having breakfast in Europe because he's actually really early.
And we also have another eagle, Mirko. How are you, Mirko?
Good morning.
Good morning to everybody. Yeah, it's a little bit early as we record this on the wee hours of Wednesday morning. The DFL Super Cup boys, Sunday. A couple of you guys were able to make this match. Not exactly the greatest of matches, but let's talk about kind of everything that kind of, for you guys, in terms of a viewing aspect, going to the Commerzbank Arena in the forest of Frankfurt, outside in the Waldstadion. You know, you guys having to, if you guys went via the train, you probably had to wade through the swath of trees. Hopefully you didn't get lost, and hopefully you didn't run into a drunk who just was peeing on a tree and he accidentally peed on you while as he turned. Gentlemen, let's talk about the experience that was visiting the Waldstadion. John, I'll give you kind of a lead-in for this.
Yeah, no worries. So, I mean, obviously it was my first time at the stadium, and to a couple of stadiums before, so obviously here in Berlin. So I've been there really, I mean, I kind of have a German fan experience, I guess, but must say, brilliant stadium. And overall, the atmosphere was fantastic. I mean, I know it was only a pre-season friendly, effectively, a glorified pre-season friendly, as we call it back home, but no, it was a great experience. Frankfurt's a really nice place as well, really good city. Overall, it was a really good day. I love going to German football. It is better than going to Premier League football. It is, as much as I love the Premier League, the fan experience in Germany is second to none. Like I say, even as this was a pre-season friendly, it was just a great atmosphere, pretty much a full house, a few empty seats here and there, but it was pretty much sold out. I think it was sold out, so just the capacity wasn't full. Shame about the result. I mean, that's Bayern, I guess. Back to normal after the final last year, but no, great day out, really good stadium, and definitely somewhere that I would like to go again if the opportunity arose.
Jorge, this was very much the kind of matchup that you being Spanish, you would say that in the Spanish Super Cup will basically be like, you know, Barcelona taking on, say, their most recent opponent in the Super Cup, Sevilla. I mean, for you, as a spectacle like this, does this scream out that, you know, it's just the little guys trying to take a bite out of the big ones? But honestly, everyone's still in preseason. Does this matter? Or, you know, I want to get your perspective on this.
I mean, coming from a small team fan perspective, I do like this type of games, you know. At the end of the day, there's only 3 national trophies a year, if we count this time, this one. And it's another chance to win a trophy. Okay, fair enough. You probably might get bullied and by a big team like normally happens. In Spain, I'm talking about at least Barcelona, Madrid, even Atletico sometimes always win. But I don't know. I like it. And you could see in the stadium, okay, in the stadium, you could see, I found it quite interesting. A lot of the fans were not interested in the result. And actually, a lot of the people of the ultras didn't go because of that, because they find it, I think Miro can give us a better input on that, find it like a marketing game or don't find it like a proper official game. But what surprised me the most, actually, was going back through the forest, back to the train station, like you say, all the Eintracht Frankfurt fans I would meet, and I would tell them my story, like, oh yeah, I'm just a Spaniard that came here for the first time to the Eintracht game. I mean, at home, because I've been to 2 away games with Mirko, and they would all apologize. They would all say, like, I'm sorry you came today, because normally the atmosphere is much better. It's normally roaring, and we apologize because this is not representative of the atmosphere of Eintracht. And that actually shocked me, because for me, it was an amazing atmosphere. I thought it was really good atmosphere. At least I compared to La Liga, and there's not that many. La Liga games normally are not full house. And the good atmospheres are very good, but I would still struggle to compare them to the good German atmospheres. So I think that's a unique thing that the Bundesliga has. And even in a game like this, they showed it. And I would just like to say that one thing I find very charming and I really liked about the stadium is the fact that they are so close to the airport. And every 2 minutes or so, you see a plane going through the stadium. That makes for a perfect Instagram photo, I would say, just as a recommendation.
So, as a fan of the Spanish game, how does the Commerzbank compare to an ongoing with one of the more passionate, rather than more well known, for Spanish football, the San Mamés?
San Mamés is a very, very traditional stadium and probably one of the best we have in Spain. I think that's a perfect choice, because if I had to compare a club in Spain with Germany in terms of fan base, in terms of stadium, in terms of history, it would probably be Athletic Bilbao. I think that's, yeah, I would say that it's the atmospheres there are like the ones in Eintracht probably, even though I would say that Eintracht fans are louder than the ones in Spain, definitely.
Indeed. So, Mirko, coming in with the German perspective, this is, once again, Eintracht not winning the Super Cup, but, you know, hey, what you going to do? Since the Super Cup has come back, have you enjoyed its present format and the fact that, you know, let's see, what was it? There was the Liga Copa. The Liga Pokal that came in the 90s that superseded it, and then they brought back the Super Cup. Do we like the present format? Because some people would say, you know, that match doesn't mean anything. It's just a money grab. I would kind of agree. But as an Eintracht fan who realized that at the end of the day, you're taking on Bayern, who is, you know, those guys know each other so well, and Eintracht's adapting to an entirely new system and a whole bunch of new players. I'm okay with the match as a training match because, hey, it's a pretty big stadium to fill, and we filled it, and that's a lot of money. But otherwise, what do you think? Because some of these other Super Cups that are, exist in the world, let's see, there's ones, and I mentioned Spain. The Spanish Super Cup was actually played in Morocco. France has been moving their Super Cup, and Italy as well, to all sorts of places like China and Libya and such. Do you like the fact that Germany has stayed a little bit true to the fans and bringing it back that it's at the winner, the Pokal? Do you think that it's actually more behoove of the DFL, who run the top 2 divisions of the Bundesliga, to maybe take it abroad as the French have done to Canada, the United States, actually it was at that one in New York, and Morocco, and all points here, there, and everywhere?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of topics now we can talk about. I mean, definitely I do enjoy to have a little bit of competition during the breaks. Like, especially also in the winter times, there used to be like great indoor football tournaments. And from time to time, they kind of diminished and they stopped playing because the clubs were afraid that players get injured. But it was always, when I was young, I remember in the winter times, always watching those indoor competitions. And you were referring to the Liga Pokal that was played out in the summer. When they didn't have the Super Cup. I mean, the Super Cup is back since 2010, if I heard correct. Yeah.
We're and then, yep, in Augsburg for that first one before they started going to the Pokal winners.
Before that, they had the Liga Pokal, which was actually six teams, and they were like the champion and the runner-up were directly in the semis, and then the other four were playing like the round of the quarterfinal, kind of like a quarterfinal, and then the winner, they played the champion and runner-up, and then there was a final. And I remember the final has always, not always, but has been in Mainz, I thought, sometimes. And I used to go there with my dad to watch it. And it's kind of interesting to see a little bit of competition, but I still see it as like a better test match. I mean, no one really wants to get injured. They're substituting a lot. And it's not that important. And I can also say I don't really mind losing that 5-0. I mean, Frankfurt has done poor in preseason matches for all the last years, so I'm not that worried. And doesn't matter really the loss. And but I it's okay that they have the Liga Pokal back, but I still think it's for commercial reasons, and I can also see that it's not unrealistic that they will move it somewhere else, that they will play it out in New York or maybe in Asia or something. I think that could happen. And since the fact, I mean, I was in the stadium, I was meeting some friends, but you could see there have been a lot of tourists. I mean, ultras didn't go to the stadium, and you could see, I mean, I always call them tourists, the classic guys.
To Ulm anyways.
who buy the kit every season. Who watch like two to three games a season in the stadium, have the Sky Bundesliga TV package and watch a lot of games at home. And they're not really that passionate. They don't really travel away or something, but from time to time they go to the stadium and they buy a lot of shit and they finance that shit. You could really see them in the stadium, and they would also fly somewhere else. They would also fly to New York probably to watch the game, or to London or something. So I can see that happen. And I wouldn't mind if it's only the Super Cup. If they play the DFB Pokal final in another country, I would go mad. That would be insane. But
you took tourists yourself, Mirko. What are you talking about? You took us.
Yeah. See, I took you, and it was fine. And I still had fun. It's not that important, and the competition wasn't that important for me. But it was a fun day.
Exactly. Just all you need is a couple of bratwurst, some beer, and some football. Eboboy.
But I still think it's good. Like, okay, I agree with what you say. It's a commercialized trophy. But at the same time, even it might get in the future. At the moment, you're not selling the game you're not playing in another country. You're playing at home. Also, I really like the tradition of the rule of playing at the Pokal winner. And it's only one game. Like, for example, in Spain, it's two games. This year was the first time that it's a game. And it was because of calendar reasons, not because of a change of policy. I think it just gives more chances if you want it to the small team or to Bayern at least. Okay, Bayern won 5-0, but play at home only for one game technically would kind of give a little more chances to the Pokal winner.
Yeah, but I'd still rather let the coach like switch some players, try something new, then try everything to win it. You know,
I agree with you when you say that it's a game that you can see that players go like with a different mentality. Like, for example, doesn't help the fact that David Alaba got injured, because that was going to happen in the future in other Super Cup games. Players are going to go more careful.
Took a bite out of Lewandowski again.
Oh man. Lewandowski, like, we were there in the North Curve, I think it's called, and Lewandowski celebrated in our faces, and we could see like why the fans hated him. I never understood people hating Lewandowski, because I think he's an incredible player, but when I saw the way he reacted against the fans, like,
kind of telling us to shut up. It was like really disrespectful.
Oh, he's a putz.
I mean, it's kind of the banter football, let's be honest. I kind of like those things and I always want those players in my team. But from a perspective of the fan, I was like, oh my God, shut your mouth, Lewandowski.
The thing is, I do agree. You know, this is exactly why we love football so much. It really brings out the passion in us. And
exactly.
You either love him or you hate him. And, you know, there's plenty of Dortmund fans I know who still love that guy. So, you know, it is what it is when it comes to him. But, John, I wanted to kind of circle this back to you. What did you see from Eintracht that were some positives? Because aside from Rebic coming on, all I could think in my head was, ooh, Renault, you are rusty.
Yeah. To be honest, when you lose 5-0 at home effectively, there aren't that many positives that you can take, really. They didn't create that much, and it wasn't the best performance. Lucas Toro played, who wasn't bad, to be honest. I mean, yeah, we wouldn't say he had that much to ball, but the things that he did do, he did quite well.
The only outfield starter who has been a new signing, it should be said for Eintracht, because this very much was, if you look up and down, take out Renault and look over the other 10, every single one of those players was a Niko Kovac signing or brought in before him. And so, like you, I was very pleased with his performance, but that was the old crowd out there just playing a new coach's tactics.
So, I mean, that's something you need to take that into consideration. It will take a time. It'll take a while for them to get used to that and to get used to the new manager's way of playing. That goes without saying. Abraham looked okay as well. I mean, even though he received 5 goals, still looks okay to me. You hope that the new striker, Pazienza, is a massive improvement on Haller because
he isn't
good enough for me.
I don't think that. I think Haller is just too lonely up front. Like I see his movements, and I think his movements are of a good quality striker, and the guy has gold in his veins. You could see that last season. I think the system of Frankfurt, of Eintracht, just leave him too alone up front to fight with 4 defenders. I think they need maybe Rebic behind him, or like last year we had Kevin Prince. So, I mean, I think they have to surround him better. I mean, maybe, I don't know what you guys think about that.
Yeah, but Rebic, I mean, he was at the World Cup and he played for 20 minutes and you could see he created that one chance. And you could really see the quality increased when he came on the pitch. But I don't like Haller at front. I mean, he's a big striker and he's there.
He's a classic central forward. This is a team that with their new tactics I'll see what you think about this, Miracle. I think that with the new tactics that have been brought in, he's not as well suited. But the thing is, you don't want to put up for sale a player of his ilk, because central forwards are, you know, going at a premium. And if you have a half decent guy like that, I think that's what you need as, you know, always a good backup option. But I think that now what they're looking for is more mobility and the attack, and Pacienza was probably one who will take part in it. And I would like to see more Jovic, and obviously Rebic will be a good one to look out for. I was surprised quietly by the performance of Danny Blum, because he performed, maybe this is just me, but I thought he performed better than like Marco Fabian, which it's been a long time since I've been rooting for Blum to be any good.
I see what you're referring to. I didn't like Fabian. I think he was the worst man on the pitch. I mean, you didn't even see him. Did he even have like 3 passes or something? He was really, it wasn't his best day. But Danny Blum, hands down, the worst football player in history. He's just incredibly bad. He has, can't pass. He doesn't pass the ball. He just head down and starts running to the front. He has never in his career maybe stopped and played a pass. And he can't convert chances. He has no good header. His shot is maybe decent, but he's just like not smart enough to play. He probably in the lower leagues because he's pretty fast, scores some goals, but it's just not enough in Bundesliga. And I don't know why we still have him in the squad. I make jokes about him all the time. It's just... Yes, he has number 7 on his back, right?
No way.
Usually the number 7
he's
should
been given the number 7 shirt, which, trust me.
Yeah. Usually that's the starting player that plays like 30 games a season, like Wolf. Wolf should have had the 7 last year. And okay, yeah, okay. Danny Blum, I mean, even though maybe it wasn't his worst performance on Sunday and some others weren't performing well, so he might have looked a little better, but you can't play or you can't plan a season with Danny Blum playing a major role. I mean, that would just be, that means your squad is not good enough for Bundesliga.
Yeah, I think maybe an issue is with the Frankfurt squad is, you know, you lost Hladek, he's gone. You've lost
Who's gone?
Wolf, Hladek, the goalkeeper, sorry, can I say it?
Radetzky.
Yeah, my name is obviously, Marius Wolf is gone, and
and Mascarell, you probably think of in the bulldog in the midfield.
Yeah, and Boateng as well. So you lost important.
He was a machine, Mascarell.
Mm-hmm. And really been replaced with the same level of quality, I don't think, which is a big issue. You don't replace the players that you leave that leave with a similar quality, then you're already a worse point than you were the season before.
Yeah, I would also say like our squad like is a little worse than last season. At the moment, we didn't replace the players equally, but I mean the transfer window is still open.
Exactly.
So get some. I mean, there are rumors out about Vallejo again. I mean, but that's just. I mean, a lot of Frankfurt fans are wishing for it. Maybe that's why the rumors always pop up.
Dream.
Yeah. But I don't think the defense is the biggest problem because we have Abraham and Salcedo who are definitely good defenders. Also the left back and right backs are decent. I mean, I'd rather have some midfielders and yeah, maybe another good striker.
So, I think that the bringing in of Indika, I think that he will be brought on kind of incrementally. And for me, I look at him as one for the future who will be replacing the likes of Rus on the bench, who will be replacing the likes of Abraham in the starting 11. At least that they're looking to him as a long-term solution. And you got to remember, Fallet wasn't even, you know, didn't even make the bench for this match, and he played so many matches last season under Niko Kovac. There are players aplenty, probably one or two who should probably leave. Stendera, Hogada. Those guys just drive me mad, but then you also have the like a Kamada, Fabian could go to China. I'm okay with letting this coach take the reins because at the end of the day, for me, and I'll see if each one of you guys kind of has a parting question before we kind of wrap this little bit up, and I appreciate you guys all for coming on. With Eintracht having a regional Liga, fourth division team in the Pokal, and two Bundesliga matches, will the real Frankfurt stand up before or after the September international break?
So
kind of go around the horn, and let's start off with you, John.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Ulm game is one issue. Anyway, no matter what team they play.
And we were also the people who relegated them for the last time they were in the Bundesliga about 16, 17, 18 years ago. What I've been told is true.
Yeah, my Eintracht history isn't spot on yet, but it's a game they should win. And the other two games will be the biggest insight into how or to where Eintracht really are. You know, playing Bayern is not a barometer of where they are at all. Bayern will, unless there's a massive surprise, they will walk the league again easily. So, you know, a performance against Bayern is not where you need to worry, really. Those two Bundesliga games will be the first chance where you really get to have a look at Frankfurt and where they are. Hopefully they'll bring in some more players as well. Those two first games you would think should be winnable. Freiburg were great last season. I think Eintracht are better than them, and maybe Werder at home will be a more testing game. Werder have done well in the transfer window, I think. But again, you know, Eintracht are in Europe, won the cup last year, so you would hope they can put in a good performance there. I think there needs to be some transfer activity, and they need a couple more players from what I saw the other day. It all depends on what Frankfurt's expectations are now. You know, is European football every year or top eight what they want now? But they've done it the last couple of years, or at least the last couple of years, they've been in better positions with Kovac, or is survival with a decent, you know, maybe a second round European run, maybe, is that the expectation for the season? I think, you know, I mean, Mirko can tell us more about that from his perspective, but it needs to, the expectations need to be relevant to where Frankfurt really are in the grand scheme of things. Are they that European side, like I said, or are they a mid-table side who have done a better than they should have done the last couple of years?
All right.
I actually want to end up with a positive, in a positive way. I mean, I actually saw positives of the game. Before the first goal, which, if I'm not wrong, I think came around the 20th, 25th minute, Eintracht were the better team. I really think so. I really think they were playing with high pressure, making Bayern uncomfortable. They had a couple of chances, although they weren't clear enough, but they had a couple of chances. They were playing really well. It was actually handball. It was a penalty. I thought it was a penalty, at least a really clear one. And I think they were, like, for example, the manager tried a new system. There was a moment where the team played with three centre-backs. I really liked Hasebe playing as a centre-back. I normally always seen him as a full-back, but he was good there. So the team that gave a bit more of solidity to the team. I really liked De Guzman. Like this year without Prince, he's going to have more protagonism in the middle. I think he moved well the team for a moment in the first half. Was combining well with Lucas Torro. And I think that's the path Frankfurt have to follow. I think the worst enemy for Frankfurt this year, or ironically enough, will be what the fans are more happy and excited about, which is the Europa League. I think having the Europa League, even though it's really exciting for fans, might have a negative impact in the league, especially with what John said, which I agree with him 100%. The squad has not found those replacements for the players that left yet. They're still 2 weeks off market, but I don't know what you guys think.
Well, I'd like to hope that at least Eintracht treats the Europa League just like Celta Vigo did a couple of seasons ago in the Europa League when they, I think, went all the way to the semifinals before they ran into, was that Liverpool or Manchester United? One of those two nameless English teams that are somewhere in the northern part of the UK.
I think it was Manchester United.
There you go. Mirko,
you're hoping to prioritize the Europa League.
You want to make another big trip like we did to Bordeaux and Porto.
Yeah, I mean, as a fan perspective, I also think the Europa League is the where the important trips are and where the most fun times will probably be, but from a sporting perspective, I would definitely say we shouldn't prioritize the Europa League, and we should try to get 40 points as quick as possible. And like, my goal for next season would definitely be try to stay in the league. If we manage to get like a top 12 spot, that would be way enough for me, because it's for smaller teams. Like you've seen with Cologne last season, it's definitely hard to play those three competitions at the same time. You definitely should have a bigger squad, which we not have at the moment. And Nuremberg also 10 years ago, they won the cup, played Europa League and got relegated.
Bochum too, I think.
Yeah. So for smaller teams, it's definitely tough to manage to play good in all the competitions. So yeah, my goal would be like rather focus on the league, try to stay up, and just let's see what Europe brings. Maybe we were able to finish one or second or first in the group and have some more matches. That would be great. But if we're out after the group stage, I wouldn't mind. I mean,
well,
been three fun.
Here's hoping at least that Eintracht is able to make good on the extra cash that's coming in for those extra matches. Hey, the stadium's already sold out, so, you know, you already had plenty of time to kind of figure out whether Eintracht's going to be going through or not as the Europa League goes through their final qualifiers or the basically next 10 days or so. I'd like to appreciate everyone for joining us here from the Bundesliga Diaries. John, where can we follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, so our Twitter handle is @bully_diaries. We have a new show out every Wednesday. Our first show will be on the 22nd, 22nd of August, a preview show of the upcoming Bundesliga season. So that'll be there to see for anyone to listen to on Wednesday. We talk about, we do reports of the Bundesliga games. We discuss bigger topics each week. If you're interested in, and it would run along this one really well. So, you've got your specialised club podcast, and you've got the bigger picture podcast as well. So, definitely come on down, give us a listen. You can follow us on iTunes as well, at our website, which is BundesligaDiaries.com. That's where we are. Come along and listen if you you want to get your Bundesliga fix.
We're in iTunes. You can get it in iTunes.
Definitely. You can get it in iTunes, yes.
Indeed. All right, so John, Mirko, and Jorge, appreciate it for joining us. And give the Bundesliga Diaries a listen. And appreciate it for you guys coming on the show.
Thank you so much for the invitation, mate. Thank you.
No problem.
And back we are with part four, the final part of Hey Eintracht Frankfurt. And some good news. Let's talk about some good news before we briefly talk about our Pokal match with Ulm.
There you go.
Rebic's new contract signed until 2022.
Yay!
I mean,
golly, with all this shit.
indeed. In addition to that, we have other guys signing in the contracts. Our sporting director Hubner has can't seem to keep his mouth shut, but has signed a contract until 2021. If we can only get him to shut up about trying to say that all Bundesliga clubs should keep the best talent, God, foot in mouth. That's all I'm going to say. Bobic and marketing manager Hellmann have also been signed to new contracts until 2023. Hey, good things have been done by these gentlemen. And let's just keep the good times rolling so long as they're able to figure out the long-term future of the club with or without whoever might be manager. Oh, I'm not trying to say that we're already on in crisis mode just yet, but
really dipping in your predictions there, Brian.
Look, we, we are the diva on mine. That's all I'm going to say.
True.
Before we get to housekeeping, let's talk about our match and the Pokal. So, as the Deutsche Pokalsieger of the 2017-2018 edition, the 2018-2019 edition
is about to get
underway. Exactly. Eintracht Frankfurt travels south to the Ulm. Most people would probably know them for the Ulm Munster, the gargantuan, not cathedral, because there actually is no bishop there, the giant Gothic church. It's actually pretty spectacular. If you ever get Google or any other search engine image search of this is going to be on Saturday. So we will not be on TV because Bayern Munich's playing at the same exact time.
Bastards.
always them. So they're currently participating in the Regionalliga Südwest in the fourth division there. Only just escaped relegation last season, but some people might remember them for being a team that briefly at the 98-99 season was part of the Bundesliga, and maybe we should feel a little guilty at the fact that, whoops, excuse me, 99-2000 season on the match that sent them down was actually a loss to Frankfurt. So some of their fans might not have forgotten that. So
some of their fans moved on and became Frankfurt fans. So
yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, should be a good time for anyone headed south. And like I said, if you're interested in, architecture from way back when, there you go.
Yeah.
something to look at after Eintracht does what they need to do in making the second round of the DFB Pokal. So back we are to the final bit of this episode of Hey Eintracht Frankfurt. Housekeeping. So
sure.
Thanks. Exactly. So Nathan, let's talk about housekeeping for this show that is Hey Eintracht Frankfurt. What do we need from our friends out there? We do have a Facebook group that they can join. What else can they do?
Well, Twitter, Facebook, anywhere you can. We'd love to hear from you guys. We love to hear your stories of how you became Eintracht Frankfurt fan. We love to hear your opinions about the current situation of the team, whether positive or negative, or any outlooks you have on the team. We've heard some great things from people here in the States and UK and even over in UAE, I believe.
That is correct. Yeah,
yeah.
An Eintracht Frankfurt fan club that is out there and also Saudi Arabia. So
yeah,
we're here, we're there, we're everywhere, but we fly the eagle colors high.
I love
Schwarz, Weiß, wie Schnee, das ist der SKA.
Being I think I've said this like a few times out on Twitter, but I feel like I'm an island here in St. Louis, and it's great to actually know that there's another guy out here in St. Louis now, Aaron, and I wouldn't have found him if not for this podcast. So
there you go.
This group of ours is out there. We just need to find each other. And so, if there's one thing from this podcast that I've learned is that, we're there. We just need to, get tighter as a group, and we're all there. So let's become family. So send us your
one big Eagles family. That's all we're talking about. We're fellow Americans. Just great things are going to happen with Eintracht Frankfurt, including the fact that Freddy Bobic happened to drop a massive bomb, and the fact that Eintracht Frankfurt intends to be stateside, year in, year out, every summer, taking a trip over stateside. I'm just super excited with the fact that basically, by the time that 2026 does roll around, they'll have probably visited Chicago at least once or twice.
There you go.
And maybe even Kansas City or, St. Louis.
Hey.
Better have a spare bed for me.
If I'll be, I've got a house, so I can room people. If I have to convince the team to stay here, I don't want to be around stinky people, but the team can stay at my house if they need to save money. So it's fine with me.
Yeah. My house is not too bad. The plumbing's good. I have a very opinionated dog who is very opinionated on everything that is Eintracht Frankfurt. So if you're okay with dealing with a 6 a.m. wake-up call, should the team come to Kansas City? Yes, I'm talking about you, little lady over there. Should that come, we'll arrange something.
Yeah, between here and 2026, we have
a lot of Bundesliga seasons.
That's a long time. So we have Detroit. There's a couple fans in Detroit that are part of our fan club.
Heartland, Eintracht Frankfurt Heartland.
They might have an MLS team by then. So
that's a very touchy subject with those guys. Trust me, I've gone down that rabbit hole and thought I might have burnt my tail a little bit when I realized, This is entirely different. Did not realize this. But hey, that's when you have a fan-owned club that does it in a totally different format. Yeah. You just got to hope that eventually American soccer will get promotion relegation and they will be where they should be at the pinnacle.
We can dream.
Yes. Those, yeah, we definitely can. So that all being said, thanks for enjoying the downloading the podcast and giving us a listen.
Yeah.
You can download the podcast wherever you get your podcast downloads. Leave us a friendly review. Tell us what's going good, what's going bad, and we'll be more than happy to attend to if we need to change things up just a little bit. And hey, if you love the What Are We Drinking segment, hey, tweet us right back with hashtag What Are We Drinking. It's just a love fest of Eintracht. The fan interaction is why we do this.
Hell yes.
So, Nathan, where can we find you in the social media landscape?
You can find me on Twitter at NAJAKWA. That's David Pliskin.
There you go. You can follow the show on Twitter. That is at HEFpod. You can also find Hey Eintracht Frankfurt on Facebook. We have a Facebook group. So we drop news. And also, the most recent episode drops. If you don't usually download the podcast in the kind of like on your onto your phone, hey, easy way for you to know when the new episode has officially been released.
Heck yeah!
There you go. And you can also email the show. That is heyeintrachtfrankfurt@yahoo.com. And of course, you can tweet me at KCSG. So, from all of us here at Hey Eintracht Frankfurt, it's a tschüss.
Tschüss.
Deutsche Pokalsieger.
Deutsche Pokalsieger. SG. That's for you, Roman. Hey, I'm from Frankfurt, la 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 la. Hey, I'm from Frankfurt, la 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 la.